Despite the extra day in February, it's been an extra dry month, hasn't it? 8 millimetres, give or take, is about what's fallen across north-central Victoria. And according to our weather forecaster, Kevin Long, maybe March and April aren't going to be much better. He's just issued his autumnal forecast and he's with us this morning. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning.
Now, in fact, February's a lot drier than yourself and a lot of other forecasters were predicting. What went wrong?
Basically, we lost the warm water off the Broome area, and we haven't had any jet stream moisture, and we haven't had any cold fronts come through because too much cold water down south of Australia.
And it's been a bit frustrating. We've watched all those cyclones and low pressure systems develop over on the northwest coast, and they've just gone straight across the top end.
That's right, and the cyclones really haven't been very strong this year. There's been three of them, and they've all been pretty mediocre.
And now, of course, reveal, take off the cover. February has been, well, below average. What do you see for March, April, May, sort of the first 3 months of the autumn period?
Well, as I stated in my summer forecast, I thought we'd have average rain for the summertime, and then we'd have a rapid drop-off of rain during the autumn. And that seems to be happening even a month earlier than I thought it was going to.
So what does that mean?
Well, there isn't any hot water around Australia at the moment to give us an above-average rain pattern. So we're very much hit and miss at the moment. We might get a little bit here or there, but generally we'll end up with about half-average rain, I'd say, during autumn.
And when you talk about hot water off the coast of Australia, you use the change from average temperature of sea surface temperatures, don't you?
That's right. It's an anomaly chart that I look at, and the anomaly chart's basically got blue water all the way around Australia at the moment, which means it's 1 to 2 degrees below average.
Now, you also are somebody who's very keen to look at something you call the Chinese effect.
Yes.
And I suppose that we've all seen the news stories about the industrialisation of China. What effect is all that, greenhouse gas over China having on Australian weather?
Well, it's greenhouse gas over the sea north of New Guinea up to Japan. That's critical. And what it's doing is it's, on more occasions than not, it's keeping that sea warmer than it used to be, particularly during the Northern Hemisphere winter, which is what they're just coming out of now.
Which is extraordinary because they've had some extraordinarily cold temperatures in the last month or two, and yet they've still got that higher than average sea temperature.
Yeah, well, I guess they've been burning more coal, haven't they, to try to keep warm.
Could be one explanation, couldn't it? Another thing you look at is the El Nino-La Nina cycle. Where's that at over the next few months?
Well, I think the La Nina cycle is about three quarters of the way through its process, and it's waning at the moment. So my analysis of it is that by next June, we'll be into the early stages of the next El Nino.
Now, at the moment, it's about, well, from Friday's figures, it's about +20, +20.5. You'll have to remind me, we want negative numbers, don't we?
No, if... What really should happen, if we've had +20 on our scale years ago, we would have been getting lots and lots of rain, like we did in 96 or 1992. But for some reason, and I put it all down to the Chinese effect, that rain that should come out of the Pacific is just not making Victoria. It made Queensland very well this year, but didn't go any further.
Which is fine if you live on the Darling system.
Up in the north part of it, yes.
Okay, so I suppose then if any farmers are listening and give any credence to your observations, it's going to be a fairly patchy start to the growing season.
It appears that way at the moment. Unless we get some major changes in the sea surface temperature, it won't happen. It's interesting to compare the sea surface temperature of 2001 with the sea surface temperature of this year, and they're almost identical right around the world.
And that should ring alarm bells, shouldn't it?
Well, 2001 produced 402 millimetres of rain for Bendigo, and it was followed by the next drought year, 2002.
And 400 and something mils is not our average, is it?
No, 150 mils below average.
Okay, well, that's a significant amount of water, isn't it? Any thoughts about beyond May, June?
Yes, I believe we're going to have a fairly lean winter, and that's why I say we've got a very high risk of our crops running out of moisture like they did last year.
And sadly, if it's dry towards the end of the year, that is also our traditional water harvesting time of the year. You're not expecting much in the way of inflows?
No, if we get as much as we had this year, I think we'll have done well.
All right, which then goes from the weather forecast to maybe some calls for changes in water company as well as government policy?
Yeah, well, this is my old bugbear. I've been campaigning for this for many years now, to have the bulk water entitlement reviewed. And there are some moves at foot at the moment to do that. But it's very slow, and I'd be very surprised if those things have happened by the time we get to the next irrigation season.
In fact, a lot of irrigation seems to be planning on running down resources by the end of the season, hasn't it?
Yes. Our bulk water entitlement doesn't allow us to store water for the following season, not irrigation water. We use all the available water this year if we don't get 100% allocation.
All right. And Kevin, I had a very good question related to all of that. I will come back to it. Oh, that's right. So it's interesting that in some catchments, the federal government's announced water buybacks for over-entitlement. Given the way in which catchment has changed in the last 30 years, when do we start saying that what the Colobin or the Loddon or the Campaspe can deliver is going to be less, and maybe talk about adjusting entitlements in northern Victoria?
Well, I believe these catchments now can only provide less than 50% of the water that they used to. And I think we've got to buy back 50% of the allocation so that we still have a reliable water supply.
And that's so that the irrigators who are fluctuating between 0 and 37% can maybe plan a little bit with a bit more surety.
That's right. Well, 0 to 37% is not productive for anybody. Mm. So we've got to bite the bullet and say, well, look, we just can't supply 100 irrigators anymore. We can only supply 50.
And all of the social, economic and environmental issues that fly around that?
Well, we can't get away from it. Our catchments are only yielding 10% of what they used to.
Kevin Long, food for thought. Again, as I've said so often over the last couple of years, I thank you very much for your forecast, and again, I hope you're wrong.
I hope that one day you'll accept what I say.
No worries. It's been good to talk to you. Thank you.